In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Everywhere you and I look in this world, death seems to reign. Because things decay, like our bodies, or our houses, or relationships, or whatever. People die. Economies are falling apart around us, aren't they? Families are in crisis, and so it looks like death and everything that comes with death. It looks like these things are in control. But if death was really reigning, there wouldn't be any lilies. For God would have instantly made good on His promise to Adam and Eve that when they disobeyed Him, they would die. And yet He didn't do it instantly, did He? They did die spiritually in that moment that they disobeyed, but they did not die physically right at that precise moment. He didn't allow them to die right then and there. He allows life to continue in the midst of sin. He didn't abandon us or them. Even though Adam and Eve had betrayed Him, He still loved them. And He walked in the garden. He walked in the garden with them. He came and sought them out, despite their hatred and their fear that came with their sin when they hid from Him after that. He sought them out. He did what they needed. He came to earth, of course, later on, in bodily form, foreshadowing that He would, in fact, come to us in the person of Jesus, that He would come and pay our price and die our death, that He would stand between us and the devil, that He would perform the duty in which Adam had failed, that He would do what was needed. And so consider the lilies. They do not live in the paradise of the Garden of Eden before sin entered the world. They live in our broken and in our dying world. And they live alongside the thorns and the thistles, those things which are in this world because of the curse of sin, those things that seek to choke them out and destroy them. They live with insects and molds and various diseases. They live being trampled by children and dogs. They live being eaten by deer and rabbits. Consider the fragility of those lilies in this violent world. But consider also their beauty. Even though their beauty is fleeting, those lilies do have a certain glory, don't they? They adorn the earth. They are gorgeous and beautiful. And so not everything in this fallen place is red in tooth and claw, seeking to kill, raining death down on us, is it? There is beauty. There is glory in this world. Consider the lilies. Consider also, if you will, things like chocolate, or laughter, or music, or books, those things of life and joy and beauty that God has given to us. You see, death does not reign. God walked in the garden with Adam and Eve. He came to where they needed Him. And Eden was only perfect so long as God was there, and so He came to them. Because our Lord goes where He is needed. And thus, He came many thousands of years later to another garden, where, of course, that same Lord who came where He was needed was betrayed again, just as Adam and Eve had betrayed Him. And before His betrayer this time came with a kiss and a band of armed thugs to take Him away, before all that happened, nonetheless, He walked in that garden with those who were His own, praying for them, loving them, doing for them what they needed. And so those death-dealing thugs that came to carry Him away, they had their way with Him outside the city in a place of the skull. And He gave Himself over to their evil desires. And then it was finished. He was laid to rest like a kernel of wheat, like a sleeping lily in the ground in the garden of the dead. And yet, He rose on Easter Sunday morning. He rose as the victor over death. He came back out of grace, undoing what sin had done, and giving the grave that Joseph of Arimathea had given to him, he gives that tomb, that grave, back to Joseph, as good as new, because he walks straight through the stone, showing that he is in control of this whole universe on that Easter Sunday morning. And you know what? It's funny, isn't it, that he walks out of that grave into a garden where everything began, where God first brought paradise into the world, and where God again begins to bring paradise and a cure for sin back into the world, in that garden where that tomb was. Because death does not reign. Death is dead, and Jesus lives. And so lilies come forth each spring. They come forth in glory. So now then, do not be anxious, because Jesus lives. Jesus loves you. And even though you are now suffering many things in your life, even though the devil tempts you to waste your energy and your effort and to compound your sorrow by worrying about untold number of things going on in your life, even though the devil would have you worry about money, even though he would have you turn your thoughts inward to how you will pay your bills and how you will get the stuff you want and how you will be able to be popular or successful or just plain survive what's going on in your life, if he can't get you to fret over those things that you desire, then he'll try and make you fret over the imagined needs that he puts into your head. And he'll turn you then, if he can't get you to fret over that, he'll turn you to fears for others. And so he'll tempt you to obsess and to fret over your children or your country or for the poor who will always be with us. And he will fill the nightly news with tragedies and crimes and disasters so that your thoughts get filled and your minds and your conversations get filled with worry about how much life these days is so much worse than it used to be. And he'll fill bookstores and even our schoolrooms with lies and with propaganda and with useless information. And he'll try to wear you down. He'll try to overwhelm you with sadness. He'll try to bury you with the impossibility of it all. And in the midst of this, our Lord says, do not be anxious. Because anxiety is useless. It's unnecessary. You only hurt yourself and those you love with your anxiety. Why? Because Jesus lives. And He will provide. The lilies do not toil or spin. The birds do not sow or reap or gather. And yet your Father takes care of them. And your Father takes care of you. He's always taken care of you, hasn't He? And He always will. And whether you are good or bad, whether you are content or whether you're anxious, He will take care of you. And so today, right now, this moment has its troubles, doesn't it? Every single one of us is carrying some kind of burden of one sort or another. There's no doubt about that. And Satan's call to you to be anxious is not a denial of the troubles in our bloody world. Because these troubles, they need our attention and they need our action. Because after all, your children need their lessons, don't they? They need to be taught what's right and wrong. They need their teeth brushed. Your mother needs a phone call from you. Your husband needs a pat on the back. Your dog needs to be walked. All those kinds of things, right? Even your country needs you. Your country needs your prayers and your involvement. Your country needs your support. She needs you to pick up your trash and put it in the can. She needs you to vote for the best candidate that's available. She needs you to watch out for your neighborhood and to care for your neighbor. But all those needs, they're all small. They're all well within your ability. They're nothing that you need to be anxious about, because God has equipped you for those tasks and those vocations that He has called you to. You've been placed by the Lord precisely. He has made you who you are, and He has given you these duties or these children or these spouses or these co-workers or bosses or friends. And even whether you like it or not, He's given you this prime minister and this government and these elected officials. He's given those things to you. And they are the troubles that you have for this day. And they are sufficient, aren't they? We need not worry about more than that. Just do what we can for these things this day. Because nothing is gained or added by adding to them with a fallen imagination egged on by hell's slavish minions who want us to worry. Nothing is added to those troubles for this day except for sorrow when you and I turn to bitterness or envy or fear. Because you are who God has made you to be. You are where He has placed you. Just like a lily of the field responds to where it is placed, where God has placed it, you and I simply respond to our place, to where God has put us within our community, within our family, as you and I are able to do. So don't be anxious about these troubles for today. Whether the Prime Minister is doing a good enough job or not, or whether your children are meeting all of your dreams, or whether the climate is hotter or colder than it should be, do what you've been given to do and ask for forgiveness for your failings, because the Lord will provide. In all things, He will provide. And He's put you in place just where you are. He's put you there on purpose. He's put you there deliberately. Even if you yourself feel unworthy to the task or you cannot understand all of His purposes, just focus on today, not on yesterday, not on tomorrow, and rest in the certainty that Jesus lives, that Jesus is providing, and that He always will provide. The lilies don't know what they are doing either, do they? They are just being lilies. And that's enough. Death doesn't reign. The lilies prove it. War and famine or plagues or conservatives or liberals or NDP or Lutheran Church Canada or the other synod. None of that stuff can stop the lilies. The lilies will still be there no matter what goes on in the world of politics or theology or whatever. The lilies are not moved by crime sprees or negligent governments or incompetent bosses or cheating spouses, because the lilies belong to the Lord. And He provides according to His promise. He takes care of them. And you are worth so much more to Him than they are. You're worth more than lilies. And He takes care of them. So He will take care of you. So rest. Let go of your anxiety, because the Lord has claimed you in the waters of holy baptism. He has sent His Son to die for you, and He's not going to quit on you. He will provide. You do not need to look like a supermodel to please Him. You do not have to keep an immaculate house or keep your yard mowed just as it should be. Or keep your car free of empty cups and all that clutter. You don't need to always work hard. You don't need to get straight A's in school. You don't have to never get grumpy when you're tired or you're hungry. You don't have to be perfect in any way. The Lord still loves you. Because death does not reign, and Jesus lives. Your Father loves you. And He will take care of all that you are worried about just as surely as He takes care of the lilies of the field. And what's interesting, remember how Jesus talks about how the lilies and the grasses are thrown into the oven when they die? Out of that oven, out of all the violence that goes into it, the reaping and the thrashing, the mixing and the kneading and the resting, and finally the heat, the searing heat of fire, out of that oven comes bread for the day, comes food for the eater. For the Lord provides for you and me. He walked in the garden. He went where he was needed. He stopped death before it began. And out of the oven comes bread that men might eat his body and be one with him. Because it's through bread that we receive our Lord. He is needed here by us, for us, today. And so this Lamb of God, slain from the foundation of the world, is the bread of life. And he comes hidden in regular bread this day to you and me to be food for us. Because death doesn't reign. Jesus lives. In Jesus' name, amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, may keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.